The Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Grow Show, recording from the Shell Studio, with your hosts, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken. Our mission is to highlight stakeholders and activities that drive the Houston Port Region's economy.
Welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, and my co-host,
Clint Aiken.
And we are here with Dave King, who's in charge of workforce development for INEOS, and he's also the head or the chairman of the steering committee for Petrochem Works.
Correct.
We're going to talk a little bit about really your background, and we'll jump to that in a second. But today's show is really centered around some of the success that we've seen in 2019 in workforce development, some of the work you guys have done, some of the trends that are really taking place in the industry that I think we have to be out in front of, and some of the work that you guys are doing with that.
It's real interesting to even say trend in this industry, because usually that word doesn't go with this industry.
Right.
It is now, which is awesome.
Which is great. It's fantastic. And then to top it off, we're going to talk about some of the peers and relationships and how everybody's really coming together to address what we see as probably the number one thing, which is human capital,
right,
for our organization. And so the money's coming, now we need the people to support it, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, yeah, you got a great background. I enjoyed hearing about it before the show, but why don't you tell our audience a little bit about, you know, where you came from and what led you into this workforce development role?
Yeah, so I'm a chemical engineer by training, so I've had a lot of technical roles over my life, and ultimately that manifests itself in becoming one of the site managers. And so sort of intrinsic to that is really that care and concern for people and wanting to develop and be successful in their career. So I guess I've always had a component of that, but it was more tactical than strategic. And in this role that I have now, it's a little bit more around how do we put systems in place for our own people internally. And then after I got my feet wet a little bit in this role and started networking a little bit, saw a lot of opportunity in the area. And so that's how we got involved with Petrochem Works, is starting to network on an advocacy basis and on an activities basis to get more people involved.
Yeah, I think that's, when you think about your background and having been an engineer, more importantly, a site manager, you're over a tremendous amount of work. I mean, we had a site manager on from Shell, and I mean, just the workload that goes into the work behind the scenes and those things. For you to have that same operative strategic mind to run one of those, but now move that in the human capital field, feels like it's a perfect alignment, right? It's not like they went and hired an HR person who's never been out there. They actually got a guy who understands it and can speak it and articulate it. That's a great asset.
Yeah, well, fun fact, I actually started out as an operator and before I got into an engineering role, so I kind of lived the life and did the shift and all those kind of things. So I had a higher level of sensitivity, I think, in terms of all the things that are required. But, you know, the rate of technology change and the rate of competitiveness in our industry has changed so much that it's a completely different world than it was when we first started. And it's great because we want to bring people that kind of thrive on that like technology, that like a challenge, that like to work in teams. We want to bring them into our industry.
Well, this is the day and age where inviting people into technology and engaging things that they can do and computers and all that. And we'll talk more about that later. But I mean, this is the time, and I guess, and really in our society, where if you can engage the next generation in something like that, you're going to crack the code, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Figuring that out. So talk to us a little bit about some of the trends and things that we're seeing in the industry that are putting so much emphasis on workforce development.
So I think that one of the major drivers for this has been the shale gas and the ability to get shale gas out of the ground safely and cheaply. And that has really affected the whole industry. 10, 15 years ago, I don't think people envisioned how successful the industry would be here in the States. In fact, a lot of investment had been going offshore. But with the advent of shale, we get not only a cheap energy source, but actually the feedstock, which is the raw materials going into plastics and fuels and lubricants and things like that, has become remarkably cheaper. So it's a lot less expensive to manufacture here in the States. So if we look at the nation, we've got $200 billion more or less of investment on 300 projects in the chemical industry. If we zero down on the ship channel in the Houston, the Texas Gulf Coast, it's about $80 billion spread over 90 some odd projects. INEOS alone has about $3 billion of investment in the last, last year, going forward 2 years. So just a ton of investment in the area. that. And so that in itself, that expansion has created new opportunities. But on top of that, we have these people that have had these careers for 30, 40, maybe 50 years that are now starting to retire. And we consider, you know, based on the data that we've seen, that there's about 50% turnover of people over the next 5 years. And that's significant.
That's
so
huge. Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's sped up in this industry because I was reading an article over the weekend that was talking about really a major economic shift from a housing crisis, because we're going to have a bunch of houses coming available from these retirees that are going to be shipping off to places they want to spend their golden years. And then you're going to have all these this home availability here in the Houston market. It's kind of intriguing. But they were looking at a 10-year window. Now we're looking at a 5-year window. Because really, these people get to retire, at an earlier age because they were part of a great program with great benefits and they made good incomes, and so they started early, and they get to leave early, which is kind of, you know, that's a great selling point if you think about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and they're great careers too, because they're challenging careers. You get to do a lot for society in terms of the things that come out of our industry, whether it be fuels or medical devices or food packaging or what have you. There's just all kinds of things that touch people that they probably aren't aware of from societal impact. There's certainly a negative image out there in terms of some of these things that we need to combat. We need to get people into the industry, but on balance, that we do a lot more for society in terms of the products that we manufacture and the careers that we have. So thinking back to some of the labor studies that we've done, and it's for craft, it's for process technicians, it's for engineers, it's for everybody in our industry, finance people. When we talk about retirements, we looked at it in conjunction with the construction industry, and right now we're at about a $5,000 shortage of skilled crafts, and that ranges across all disciplines, but welders, pipe fitters, scaffolders, etc. And we're in need of about 1,500 process technicians here in the Ship Channel alone every year.
Wow.
That is probably not going to tail off because of the expansions that we've got and the retirements that we've seen.
And how old do you have to be to get into this program?
I hear that a lot. You need to be 18 to get on site, but
okay. All right. When you take 40-year-olds, that's why I'm asking. I still have one good arm. If you put me in, let me work from the right side. So,
sure.
Real quick, so let's shift gears for a minute. We know we have an issue, so what's being done about it, right?
Yeah, so a lot of it is awareness and engagement. So I'll talk about Petrochem Works in a moment, but I do want to get back to the fact that when you get one of these careers, you can move into a career either through a dual credit program with the ISD, one of the local community colleges, for a PTEC or a craft degree, or you can do an apprentice program, which a lot of the construction contractor companies offer. And after 2 years, you could be making about $100,000 a year when you talk about benefits of profit sharing.
One thing I would like for you to break down just real quick, because some of our audience may not understand, they hear the word craft. Mm-hmm. What does that, can you give us a little bit more, what is a craft type position?
So crafts are people like welders and instrument electrical technicians, scaffold builders, carpenters, electricians, millwrights who do a lot of the fine detail on machinery, and then there's just basic structural people that are building all the facilities that we ultimately need to, you know, construct, maintain, and operate going forward, which is where all the jobs are being created.
And taking into consideration, you know, how the economy fluctuates and things that are taking place, these when you take a craft job, you're always going to need guys who can weld. Mm-hmm. You're always going to need people who are carpenters or who have a trade, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are things that it might not be industry agnostic, right? They can pick up and do in other places,
right.
But we're talking about careers that, you know, you're going to have work.
Right.
Right.
Right. So we talk about Petrochem Works, which I chair. That is a group of folks that got together about 5 years ago, and it consists of 6 owner companies and 5 of the major contractors in the Ship Channel area. Mm-hmm. And independently, they'd been doing a lot of good work in workforce, but it was apparent that we needed to get together and collaborate as a team in order to resolve the issues. So we brought together these folks. We've got a number of activities and initiatives and subcommittees that work on things like training, like onboarding, which is how do we get people in the gate and working safely in our facilities. We've developed, to your point, Jason, a competency matrix. So that allows people to get into the industry, so they've got the prerequisites to get in the industry as a helper. And then how do they progress ultimately to a journeyman where they're making top rate and doing mentorship of people coming into the industry. So taking that strategic view, that long view, if you will, has been the core of what we're doing at Petrochem Works. And our mission, simply, is to develop a skilled, inclusive, and sustainable workforce for our industry, because we see that it's the industry is flourishing and will do so for some time.
Fantastic. So, I know today, especially in our environment, we're at to capture the attention of that next generation is hard to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of just media and things aren't really telling the accurate story of what it's like out in this circle, mm-hmm. right? And so they hear all these things about, right? There's just, there you don't hear chemical plant and go, yeah, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But when you really get inside it and you realize that it's safe, there's cool advances, there's really great stuff to do, they're just thinking that they never really get to hear about it, right? Mm-hmm. So how are we kind of penetrating them to get into their minds and get into their ideas so they start thinking about coming into this industry? How are we communicating to that next generation?
Yeah, so that's a more complicated issue, but part of it is just going out there and speaking the facts and letting people know what really goes on in the industry, what the nature of the jobs are, what our safety and environmental performance are. It's not what you see on the news, because that gets eyeballs. There's a little, you know, we're very proud of our track record, but we obviously have some opportunities that we continue to work on, and we've seen that, you know, post-Harvey and all those kind of things. But really, the key to it is getting a little further upstream and getting some awareness in terms of what careers are out there. And programs like Dream It, Do It, where we have ambassadors from industry going out and talking to kids and letting them know about what their career is in a very comfortable, casual conversation instead of a talking head, so to speak,
right.
Is really able to educate people a little bit better. I think we have some opportunity in terms of educating the educators somewhat better about our industry, because they have a certain mindset. And we clearly need to do a better job of educating parents, because for the longest time, as you well know, people were pushing their kids toward 4-year degrees. Mm-hmm. And now we're demonstrating that with a 2-year associate's degree, you could have a great career, be making $100,000 a year, and not be saddled with all kinds of debt.
And still get your 4-year degree.
Yeah, if you choose to do so.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side, I think from an industry standpoint, and you mentioned this earlier, Jason, is that it's become apparent that the human capital side of the equation is just as important as the financial capital part of the equation. And that recognition is what's leading to a lot of the support and development of some of these activities, and some advocacy both at the state and at the national level to make sure that we have the right incentives in place for employers, the right initiatives for educators to be able to do apprenticeships and Pell Grants and Perkins Grants and all these things that support that infrastructure that will help people move into our industry.
Nice. And you talked a lot about some of the technological things that are taking place. Earlier before that, you talked about, I guess, like a 360 tour, something like that. Something that y'all did that really would capture the attention of the that crowd.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about that.
So there is just a ton of technology going on in our industry that people would not be aware of unless we can get them in a room and expose them to it. So for example, you can actually do an emergency drill that looks just like a PlayStation game, where you're completely immersed in their sounds and you have to respond and things are happening, you're spraying water, etc. And you're all doing that in a completely immersive environment. So
But no zombies.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So beyond that, sort of that edutainment factor, I suppose, we do that actually within companies where they're developing their own VR systems or even augmented reality, where they can overlay the diagram, the mechanical drawing. We're out there working on a pump, for example, right? So it's right on hand. In fact, there's some places in, you know, if you're in remote Africa, where you can dial into one of the oil companies here, and an engineer on the ground here looks through your goggles and tells you how to maintain that piece of equipment. So it's it's fascinating.
It's unbelievable.
But on a more awareness level, we worked with the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers to come into our Ineos La Porte plant, and they brought a 360 camera crew, and we just had our people talk about what they do. So we had an instrumental tech, we had a safety person, we had an operator, we had a lab person, and they just talked about their jobs, and all the while they can swivel their head and look up and down and see what it's like and hear the sights and sounds of what actually goes on in a chemical plant. And so by doing those kind of things, it sort of demystifies and perhaps takes some of the fear factor on what's going on behind the plant gate, and we need to do a lot more of that.
You said you actually go on top of a reactor too at one point, right?
Yeah, it's fascinating, because one of the things that we don't want people to do is spend 2 years in college, get out there and find out they've got to climb a column that's 200 feet tall, and they don't like heights, right? So with this 360, they can get up in a reactor, they can look down through the grating and say, this is not for me.
Right.
No longer sign me up.
Yeah. Or they can say, I want to do that.
Or I want to work in the lab, right? Yeah. Or I want to be a mechanic.
Put me in the lab. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to transition to our last part of this topic, specifically before we talk a little bit about you and the things that you're passionate about. But our partners, right, and some of the educated systems, and we've seen a lot of progress there. I know San Jack kind of taking it by the reins, mm-hmm. with their new facility out there. I think they grand opened in September, mm-hmm. but it's just a beautiful 150,000 square feet of just, mm-hmm. you know, it looks like a playground. I don't even understand half the stuff, but I want to go and, play in it. You know? So tell us about what you're seeing from a community engagement and what they're doing to kind of take action and help support you guys.
So I think one of the biggest things we're doing is we've got our educators involved in Petrochem Works, so that's part of our whole training facility. And as part of these teams, we have actually industry and educators sitting in the same room talking about how do you put the NCCR criteria or curriculum into their plans so that we can bring them into industry and help them be successful. So we're well integrated in that. Kudos to Dr. Hellyer, the chancellor at San Jac. She brought a number of people in from industry, including myself, to work on her advisory committee in order to make the facility industry driven so that when people left, the product that the student product that left was going to be successful in our industry. So we spent a lot of time on that. And that has just manifested itself in an incredible facility. It's state of the art, in my opinion, best in the nation, probably best in the world. But it wasn't just looking at a shiny new tool, it was looking at the curriculum. Did it meet industry? Looking at the labs that they had, and was that going to be appropriate for training people to come into industry? Looking at faculty, do we have the right place, folks in place with the right industrial background that can actually parlay that into what it's like working in industry? So a complete overhaul of a pretty good system that was already in place, but now it's just become a state-of-the-art flagship. And interestingly enough, when I do a little bit of advocacy, when I was up in D.C., the week before last, we were talking about this. I mentioned Petrochem Works, and I mentioned the Center for Petrochemical Energy and Technology, and the guy stopped me immediately. He says, you guys are the model for the nation.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
So one of the questions I've got about that, I know we want to shift gears, but mm-hmm. just real quick before we do that, for, I know you talked about working as a collective, so there's a bunch of other site managers that are involved with this. Is it too late? If there's other individual owners out there that want to get involved, can they still get involved?
No, absolutely not, Clint. There's all kinds of opportunity. Now, on the steering team, we need to keep it to a reasonable number, but
sure.
We have other companies that participate on the subcommittees, and there's always opportunity for sponsorship. One of the things we do as Petrochem Works is we sponsor a golf tournament, which is this coming Friday. And this year, we'll go over the $2 million mark in terms of funds raised
wow.
for scholarships for San Jacinto College, Lee College, Houston Community College, and the Construction Maintenance Education Foundation here in the Ship Channel as well. And all that goes to scholarships. So there's all kinds of ways that people can participate. But beyond that, on a very tactical level, we have developed some best practices, as I mentioned, on onboarding, training, and I'll talk about the training contribution agreement in a moment. But owners and contractors can get involved by implementing those recommended practices.
Right.
So we're not saying you must do this, but see how it fits within your system, because we think, collectively, the people that have been working on this, that adopting, for example, the NCCER curriculum for training your people is the right way to go in terms of getting a qualified craftsman at the end of the day.
Nice. Right.
So putting that out there and giving them the opportunity to engage with us to get more information on it, those are the ways they can participate as well. The other way you can participate is a training contribution agreement, which is a 6 cents an hour fee that we ask that we support contractors with, and all that money goes towards the Construction Maintenance Education Foundation. It allows incumbent workers to upskill. So they start out as an entry level, they get a little bit more, and ultimately, you know, at the end of X number of years, while they're working, they'll be able to progress through to a higher level of competency and credentials. And not only that, once they get those credentials, they call them stackable or portable, they can go from site to site, they can go from company to company, and those credentials will follow them. And that has been an impediment in the past.
Fantastic. Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but yes, it's important to fund and to sponsor, but you keep using the word advocacy. Really, it's that advocacy mm-hmm. approach. It's that, you know, people who can get into the schools or people who can communicate, who can share the story mm-hmm. and tell the story of what's happening in industry, make it an attractive place to be. So it's, you know, and I would encourage our audience, it's not, you know, let me mail in a check and get my name on a banner. It's taking root and ownership of an issue and saying, how do I get involved?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And I think one of the things that people find is that the people that are engaged in this activity are so passionate about mm-hmm. their legacy and improving mm-hmm. the trajectory of people's lives in the community that otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity. For example, I think our industry is underrepresented in terms of females, in terms of minorities, in terms of veterans, in terms of socially disadvantaged. So a lot of the work that we do, a large part through Patty Bell at our Dream It Do It ambassadorship, is going into those areas where the demographics are appropriate for us to be able to bring those people into, make them aware of it, and then give them the opportunity, give them the tools to go to get a career like this.
Fantastic.
And the other thing we do, which I should give a little shout out to the, we call it the CCPI, it's the Community College Petrochemical Initiative. It's the 9 colleges in the Houston area that work together on programs and in some cases advocacy around the petrochemical industry, and they started a program 5 years ago called Women in Industry to attract more people
nice.
In.
Yeah.
It started out, there was 200 young ladies that participated. Last year, we've had to move event locations twice. Last year, it was 1,300 young women,
wow.
not only that are in high school, but also at the community college level, and others that are looking for alternate careers. And we actually have two tracks now, one for students and one for changing careers. And it's just phenomenal, and people can get involved with that.
That's amazing. That's exciting. Well, this is a great time to take transition, so we'll go to our commercial break real quick, and then when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about you and wrap up the show.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Houston Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast region. As the oldest privately held national construction company, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration. Just to give you some context, our Houston-based business does 15 to 20 projects per year. We are employee-owned with over 2,000 employees throughout the U.S. and 250 in the Houston area. For more information on McCarthy Building Companies, please visit www.mccarthy.com.
We're back with Dave Keene from the steering team of Petrochem Works, and we're going to turn over the show to Clint to kind of talk a little bit about Dave's, really what makes him tick. So why don't you take that over for
us? Yeah, we want to dig into that because, you know, obviously you've shared a lot. You're very passionate about this. You're definitely an advocate for workforce development, but what kind of drove you to that, right? I know you really care for people as a site manager. You got to make sure everybody goes home safe at the end of the day, but beyond that, you know, what kind of motivates you?
So, you know, the management 101 is care your people and show them that you care. And I think that that is demonstrated by how much time you spend on developing them for them to be successful. And that sort of extrapolates into the community because you want the community that we're operating in to be successful. Our people live here, I live here, and we want the community to be successful as well. And as an industry stakeholder, I want to see the industry do well in conjunction with people's careers. But at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, care and concern for your people, demonstrating good safety and health ethic as it relates to our people and our community. But more recently, I think being called into this workforce role and this advocacy, to be quite honest, there's a bit of a personal legacy component to me. You know, I've been in this industry. I think it's a great industry. I think it does a lot for society. I think it does a lot for people's careers. And at the end of the day, I'd like to leave something and pay it forward somewhat. So although I've had a little bit of workforce in me as a site manager, I didn't have a lot of time to spend on it, but now when I'm sort of working this full time, I get to network with a bunch of incredibly talented and passionate people and get some things done and move the needle a little bit in terms of getting people in an industry. That's kind of what makes me jump out of bed in the morning.
Sure, because you're changing lives, and you're changing generations of lives for families. It's not like you know, you're just trying to help this one person get a job, right? There's a whole lot more involved in that. So, I mean, that's amazing.
I can't tell you, Clint, how many times we've gone into a school and had them come and do tours of our site, and afterwards I've been contacted by the teacher or counselor and said, you have no idea how much you've opened these people's horizon. They thought that life was a dead end and that they were going to be in a lot of trouble or in dead end careers, and they, you know, you just open up a whole new career horizon for them.
Right, and one not just for them too. I mean, for their families, mm-hmm. because once someone gets their foot in the door, gets their foot in the gate, in these cases, most of the time, it opens up a lot more opportunities for their families to be able to advance and move on with their careers too,
yeah.
and consider career paths that may not have been available to them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's generationally changing. Mm-hmm. Right? You could shift an entire generation of someone's family by giving them an opportunity they didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing when
yeah.
you think about it. So,
interesting. We did a survey. Our contractors within the Petrochem Works steering team did a little survey within, and 86% of the people that are in their industry got in through a friend or relative.
There you go.
Yeah. So you do got to know somebody, but
not necessarily. In
not
fact,
necessarily.
we need to maintain that that enthusiasm from a generational standpoint. But we need to expand that footprint and provide other avenues in through the community colleges, through apprenticeships, and other activities as well. Mm-hmm. Because we need to reach those populations we talked about before that are underrepresented.
So I did a tour at the PTEC, the new center, mm-hmm. and San Jack College. And it was real interesting because I was talking with one of the students, and I just asked her, you know, how did you find out about this career opportunity? And she told me that she just got online, mm-hmm. and she started doing some research and started getting more fascinated about it and learned about the PTEC and about them opening up that center, and she just had to get in. So mm-hmm. she said she did everything she could to get in there. And now that she's involved with it, she says it's she laughed about it because she goes, my friends are almost tired of hearing about how great this industry is from me. Because
yeah.
she's like, you know, I see the opportunities, I see where I can go with it, and, you know, how I can have a really strong career. And she goes, I've actually got three of my friends to sign up since I got on board with it.
Fantastic.
So it really is kind of cool to see that. And like we were talking about, you know, they can go around and tell their friends about it, and they can bring a whole lot more people into the industry. And so the more we have people out there like you that are advocating and sharing that story, just it improves things for everybody. Mm-hmm. So appreciate you doing that. Mm-hmm. One of the questions I got for you is, what are you personally involved with? What kind of organizations do you get involved with outside of the industry?
Oh, so outside of the industry, I used to coach Clear Lake hockey, believe it or not, ice hockey for 7 years. And
wow.
The reason I mentioned that.
What's that? I don't even know.
All four.
Went to state four times. But the reason I mentioned that, Clint, is because I have talked to some of the kids that used to play for me, and I've directed them towards this industry as well because they were a little bit groundless in terms of what they wanted to do with their career.
Wow.
And just recently, one of them reached out to me as an I&E tech at San Jacinto College, and he saw a job posting, so we hooked up.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's great when you can see that impact and see that people are taking your advice and at least trying it, right?
Yeah.
See if they like it and be able to act on that. So I'm involved in mostly in I guess from a sports standpoint. And I guess somewhat related to this, but a little different than I originally envisioned for this role, is a lot of national, through American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, the Manufacturing Institute, which sponsors the Dream It, Do It Association, and some of those groups, National Skills Coalition, so that we can get some of the collateral and materials that they have, which are top-notch, and we can share what's been successful here as Petrochem Works in terms of the things that we've been doing. And so there's a little bit of ongoing benchmarking, which I think helps the whole industry, I think helps the nation, quite frankly.
Right. I think it's real important to see, you know, when we talk to people who have been site managers, just how involved they are in the local community. You know, it's not necessarily just about that site. You get plugged in intimately on the local level, and that's just really impactful and really important too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these opportunities open up the gate for people to give back to their community as well, you know, and do things that they wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. And I think that's one of the things that really gets me excited about this industry, right, is I may want to sponsor a missionary or something, but this industry gives me the funds to be able to do that, right? So it's kind of neat to see you get involved on that level as well.
Yeah, and I think on a company basis, more and more companies are realizing that it's really important to invest back in the community, whether it's going and painting the YMCA or doing a trash bash or whatever. Our particular field is with INEOS is called a Go Run for Fun, and what we do is we go out and we sponsor at the elementary schools where kids actually, we give them the little vests and the racing tags and give them a shirt to go and do it. And we set up the whole thing, and we have a cartoon character and everything like that. We give them water and healthy foods. And we have impacted over 30,000 kids in the U.S., in our region, but to some of our other NES locations as well, through our charitable donation called ICANN. So we like to give back to the community that way, because not only are we funding sort of those activities, but it gives our employees a chance to go be ambassadors and to participate in these kind of things. And it's, as you might imagine, it's just incredibly rewarding, because the kids are just having a ball, and you know, and when it's a nice sunny day and you get kids out being you know, a physical activity, it's fantastic.
Well, I thought the best thing they'd like to do is just stare at a screen. You mean they actually like to get outside? Wow.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that, right?
Well, you got to hang iPhones in front of their head like a stick.
Well, true.
And just,
but it gets them outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the point.
So. Yeah, and the teachers and the principals love it, because it gives you know, it's something different for the kids to do. They get a pink T-shirt, and they get their little racing tag, and they go home with, and they just, it's just a fun event all the way around.
Dave, we appreciate you coming on the show. Before we wrap up and close out, is there anything else that you want to share?
I think one of the things that's important for people to recognize, we have a website called petrochemworks.com, and it is without a doubt one of the best career matching tools where an individual can go and put their interests, what their education level is, and what their skills are, and that will match them up with a job. If they don't have the skills, it'll tell them where they can go to get the tools for that job. And if they do have the skills, it'll actually tell them the kind of positions that they're qualified for. It'll tell the companies that are hiring. And if you have all those qualifications, five clicks later, you're actually applying online with a live job posting that gets fed in through the various companies.
That's awesome. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's petrochemworks.com.
Fantastic.
Very cool.
Very good.
Well, we always like to wrap up with a little bit of gratitude, talk a little bit about the things that you know we're grateful for personally, and then also the things from the industry perspective that we're grateful for. So I'll let you go first. From a gratitude perspective, what would you want to highlight?
So I want to focus a little bit on the teams that we've got working on PetroChemWorks. So we've got, it's an all-volunteer organization, so all these people have day jobs, and yet they find the commitment to convince their companies to allow them to participate. They squeeze out the time in their busy schedules to come and participate and try to do these things that are going to help the community and the industry and individuals as a whole. So it's really tough to sometimes marshal a volunteer army, but I can tell you these people are enthusiastic, they're passionate, they're creative as anything in terms of coming up with ideas. So I'd really like to thank them, and I'd really like to thank the companies that support them as well to give them the time to come and do things. Beyond that, I think when we talk about industry in general and the work that we're doing, so with the educators, with the authorities, you know, the elected officials, with industry, with everybody involved in this, I guess sort of our mantra is that we need to collaborate, we need to innovate, and we need to advocate. And the more people that we can get engaged, Clint, to your point earlier, in terms of people getting involved, the more critical mass we develop, the more these best practices permeate, and as I said earlier, rising tide lifts all boats, right? So let's work together to help the industry, help the communities that we work in, collaborate, innovate, advocate.
I love it.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm thankful specifically, you talked about elected officials, but there's a, especially in this marketplace, there's some officials who take a level of ownership in the industry, in the economy that fuels our growth, and even in educating those the kids in our next generation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them do and have other jobs. They have things that they have to take care of aside from that, and then they're trying to involve themselves in local government to help support our region. So I want to give a shout out to those folks, because there's a lot of behind the scenes work
absolutely
people take for granted. Mm-hmm. That these individuals are doing as contributors in our society. So,
yeah, for me, I know it's. I'm really grateful for. I do a lot of different things with different trade associations. Also,
mm-hmm.
Very involved with different levels with different ones. And these people are all volunteers. You know, they do have full time jobs, but they still get together for the steering committees, for the subgroups, and all these different committees, because they know that they're impacting lives. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's awesome to see these people get to be able to volunteer. And I'm grateful for the people that are running the organizations.
Fantastic.
A lot of people running the organizations, they're not paid to do it either, right? I mean, you become the chair for SMRP or something like that, there's no bonus for that. There's no money involved in that, but you're raising millions of dollars for scholarships every year.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's completely on a volunteer basis, so I'm grateful for the people that are willing to step up and head those type of groups, head those committees, and all the people that get involved on the volunteer level, because they really are changing lives. And yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
I love it. So with that being said, we want to thank you again, Dave, for coming down and spending some time with us, and Clint, as always, but want to thank our audience for tuning in. Now, again, we talked a lot about the word advocacy today and really spreading the word, and we need your help. So as you tune in, when you see something you think it's important, share it with your network. Tune into us, like our page, tune into our channels, the LinkedIn channel, the YouTube channel. Follow us and send us feedback. We'd love to hear from you. So next time we'll talk to you, and y'all have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.